Before I pray this morning, I do want to name one thing. We're going to talk about agnosticism today. And several of you have reached out and you've said, are you going to talk about this faith? Are you going to talk about this faith? There are a lot of faiths to talk about. But I do want to name, we're not talking about Buddhism, but I am really struck, I don't know if you are, by the Buddhist monks that are walking right now. And one of the things that's so fascinating about it to me, and I have to tell you, this has been a transformative reality for me. One of the things they talk about is that you find peace from within instead of peace from without. And I think for quite some time now, I've been looking for peace without. Anybody else? Anybody else looking outside going, if the world were just a little more peaceful, I could be more peaceful? So I offer that to you this morning. Maybe what God is calling us to do is to look for peace within and allow that to be a transformative thing without. I wonder if you might pray with me and for me this morning. Gracious God, I pray that the words that come out of my mouth might be honoring and pleasing to you. God, that you would give each of us ears to hear what you want us to hear this morning. But God, whatever we hear, whether it's something that comes from me or something that comes directly from you, God, might it push us to find peace within that leads to transformation on the outside. God, as we look at the world, just thinking about how cold it is right now, God, let us be people that are not okay with people being unhoused in our communities. Let us respond. God, let us not be okay with people who are hungry and not having the resources that they need. Let us respond. God, let us not be okay when people who are immigrants don't feel loved and feel fearful. God, let us respond. God, let us not be okay living in a world where love is not at the forefront of who we are. God, open our minds to understand what you want us to understand. Open our hearts to be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, do what you do. And please let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. I was doing some research because I really wanted to understand agnosticism, and that's what I'm going to talk about. And I have lots of friends that are agnostic, and I really wanted to do a deep dive, and I found somebody who succinctly was talking about it. It was a 2022 article this woman, Eleanor Margulies, wrote in an iNews article. And it was fascinating what she said about being agnostic. She said, those of us without traditional religion are left to make our peace with uncertainty. There's nothing comforting about being agnostic. And she took it a little bit further, and she said back when she saw the tanks first enter Ukraine from Russia, she was longing for the Old Testament God that she had heard about. She was longing to believe in an Old Testament God that would go in and smite someone, that would take care of the problem, that would stop the tanks, that would free the people. And she said she didn't find it. And then she went on and she told a story another time of when she would have loved to have believed in God. Her mother had cancer, and she was really struggling in the final days of her mother's life. And she said, I would love to have believed with certainty in an afterlife. I would love to have believed with something greater. She said, instead, I worship the religion of uncertainty, the religion of not knowing what's going to happen next. And she said it was really, really hard in her life. I think it's really, really important to listen to these words, to pay attention. We're in this series. We're finishing up When Faiths Collide. And we're trying to look at these places of intersection with Christianity and other faiths. And our goal in this series is not to convert other people. It's not to make sure everybody else believes what we believe. No. The goal of this series is to be in relationship with people and be connected to people and show love to people. And I think when we understand people more, we can do that. So today we're going to talk about agnosticism. And I've heard people say to me, that is not a religion. How can you talk about that? That is not faith. And I would argue, and so would many others, that agnosticism absolutely is faith. It's faith in self. It's faith in humanity. Because the agnostic, it's not that they do not believe that God exists. The agnostic has a very different understanding. The agnostic believes that they cannot fully know God. And that's a really important distinction. It's also important for us to pay attention to this because agnosticism is growing. In the last 10 years, it has grown faster than almost anything else, from 16 to 30% of the population. And I want to make sure that we understand if someone tells us they're agnostic, I want to make sure we understand what that means. Again, it doesn't mean that someone is anti-God. It means that they can't have full knowledge of who God is. It comes from the word gnosis. And gnosis means knowledge. And when you put the ag or the a in front of gnosis, it means without knowledge. So the good definition from Webster's Dictionary is a person who holds the view that any ultimate reality as God is unknown and probably unknowable. Broadly, one who is not committed to believing in either the existence or the non-existence of God or a God. I think so often people treat agnostics sort of in like an adversarial way. And the agnostic is searching. The agnostic simply doesn't believe that they can know fully who God is. It's an understanding that not everything can ever be known about God. And the agnostic doesn't deny the existence of Jesus. The agnostic often believes that Jesus existed, that Jesus walked the earth, but ultimately was not the Son of God because they can't understand the fullness of who God might be. Maybe the agnostic believes that God could exist, but they simply can't fully put their finger on it. So again, you may say, how is this faith? And I go back to, it's faith in humanity, it's faith in self. Can you imagine how hard it is to have faith in humanity right now? Faith in self, that's the fullness of faith? Now, I want to contrast this briefly with the atheist. I'm not talking about atheism today, but a lot of people lump these two together, and they are not the same thing. An atheist believes, I'm going to use that phrase, without a shadow of a doubt that there is no God. God does not exist. And you would be surprised to learn this is actually the smallest percentage of people in the world. The smallest percentage of the people in the world say, without a doubt, God does not exist. Now, years and years and years ago, there was this song by DC Talk. Anybody remember DC Talk? I mean, this is years ago. The song was Jesus Freak, okay? In the very beginning, there's a quote that came out long before Jesus Freak came out by this guy named Brennan Manning. And he says this. He says, the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, walk out the door, and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. Friends, we should pay attention to that quote. Those who are struggling with faith and those who are struggling with belief in a God and those who have come to the place where they say there's no way that they could believe in a God, several of those realities come because of the church, because of the way the church has treated people, or because of the way we've acted. So pay attention to that. And I want to go back to agnostic. I want to give you a biblical example of an agnostic and how Jesus interacts with the agnostic and what we might be able to do. This comes from Mark chapter 9, verses 14 to 24. When Jesus, Peter, James, and John approached the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them and legal experts arguing with them. Suddenly, the whole crowd caught sight of Jesus. They ran to greet him, overcome with excitement. Jesus asked them, "What are you arguing about?" Someone from the crowd responded, "Teacher, I brought my son to you. Since he has a spirit that doesn't allow him to speak, wherever it overpowers him, it throws him into a fit. He foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, stiffens up. So I spoke to your disciples to see if they could throw it out, but they couldn't." Jesus answered them, "You faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I put up with you? Bring him to me." They brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a fit. He fell on the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been going on?" He said, "Since he was a child, it has often thrown him into a fire or into water, trying to kill him. If you can do anything, help us. Show us compassion." Jesus said to him, "If you do anything, If you can do anything, all things are possible for the one who has faith. At that, the boy's father cried out, I have faith. Help my lack of faith. Now, this is an interesting encounter, and I do want to give some context here. People who study these sorts of passages say, in this time, in the first century, it was common for them to name things like seizures and things like that as demons. Okay, so when we read this story, I want us to pay attention to that backdrop that is there. So the child, if you read the story, it looks like he's having these seizures and they're causing him to be in a lot of pain. But his father would fall into the category of an agnostic. He's not named. He's doing what many agnostics do. He's actually searching. I remember I had a professor in seminary who talked about the concept of people going through hell on earth and finding God in the midst of that because they were going through such a dark time that they recognized they had to believe in something bigger than themselves. And I think that's where we find this guy today. I mean, this situation with his son is really, really difficult. And we find him in a place of being at rock bottom. He wants to believe in something bigger. He wants there to be something more. He has a problem. And he brings the problem to Jesus, essentially saying, hey, I'm out of options. I love my kid, and I'm out of options for making my kid better. If you can do anything. And then Jesus asked his father, how long has this been going on? He said, since he was a child, it has often thrown him into a fire or water trying to kill him. If you could do anything, help us. Show us compassion. Now, this was after Jesus called them a faithless generation. So you hear Jesus come and Jesus say, you faithless generation. Now, if we read that context in the way that Tim Ward would have said it, it's like, hey, what's wrong with y'all? You faithless generation. But if you read it within Jesus's context of the way that he interacts with humanity around him, it's more sadness. It's more, oh, if I could just get you there. If I could just get you to being a place. I think he's trying to suggest not that life would be easier for them if they believe, but that in the midst of believing, they might have hope and might find some of that inner peace I was talking about earlier. If you could just believe, it doesn't make your life easier, but it does help you find hope and peace in the midst of the storm. Maybe, just maybe, it could be better. But Jesus does what Jesus does in this story, and he meets the man right in the middle of his journey, right in the middle of where he is. He meets him right where he needs him to be. He doesn't go right to solving. He wants to be in community with him. He wants to learn more about him. The man has gone through hell for years. And he comes to Jesus and he says this little phrase, show us compassion. It's as if the man is coming to say, I'm so sorry, I haven't believed, I'm so sorry, I didn't follow you. But in this moment, if you have it in you, if you can do it, show us compassion. Then Jesus talks about why I have such longing for the agnostic. I don't have longing for the agnostic to correct them. I don't have longing for the agnostic to say, hey, if you could just do this, you would be right. I have longing for the agnostic because I love them. Because I want the agnostic to have hope. I want the agnostic to have peace. So Jesus said to him in verse 23, if you can do anything, all things are possible for the one who has faith. And at that, the boy's father cried out, I have faith. Help my lack of faith. The guy says, Jesus, if you can do anything, and Jesus says, of course I can do something. I'm Jesus. Of course I can do something. And the guy says, okay, I believe you can do something, but help me really believe. How often do we live in that? God, I believe you can do something, but in this moment, help me like really believe you can do something. Right? You might pray for somebody and you might do it because it's the polite thing to do. But do you ever go, God, help me really believe my prayer? Help me really believe that this thing could happen. Help me really believe that you are the God of the universe. I mean, I believe, but really help me believe. See, I think one of the things that faith brings us is we can look at life through the lens of seeing miracles and believe that miracles actually happen. I don't think miracles just happen for people of faith. I just think maybe we're able to see them a little more. I think maybe we're paying attention to them a little more. The problem often with or for the agnostic and even for the atheist is they see Christians in a different light than ones who are trying to bring hope. Often Christians bring this world of othering. Well, you're on the outside. You're not welcome in. You clearly don't have the faith. They see Christianity being filled with hypocrisy. They believe it's a bunch of people that think they're better than everyone else. And look, I know I'm painting with broad brushstrokes. But friends, just talk to somebody. Ask the question. Because the truth is, too much of the church today, they will look at it and they will say, you look nothing like that Jesus that you talk about. And that's the struggle that the world has. I think this next point might be the most important point of the whole series. I think that what we're supposed to look at this text and see, and I think that how we really are Christians and really follow Jesus is that we start to love people the way Jesus loves them. We're able to see through the lens that Jesus sees. We're able to care about people the way that Jesus cares. We're called to help the world with their unbelief, not because they're bad, not because they're wrong, but because I think the world right now needs unwavering hope. I think the world right now needs to not believe in self, needs to not believe that humanity is going to figure it all out, but needs to believe in something that's bigger than we are. Now, this is a place where I think conversation is interesting. Last week, somebody in the church, when we were online, said they sent the message to their Hindu neighbor, and it was such an interesting conversation back and forth, and they were really grateful that a church was talking about Hinduism. And I think that's really beautiful. I think this one becomes a little more challenging. How do you have conversation with the agnostic? Because you're not in a place where you're saying, well, I want to respect your faith and I want to respect this. It's really a dialogue about getting to know each other. It's a dialogue of information gathering, not about their specific beliefs, but a dialogue of information gathering about who they are. So I think the first thing, if you want to be in relationship with somebody who's agnostic or atheist, is to be in genuine relationship with them. Don't go first thing and say, hey, come to my church. Don't go first thing and say, I know your life would be easier if you just believed X. Literally try to get to know. I love what Jesus does in this story. He comes to this guy and he says, tell me about your life. Tell me what's going on. I think one of the challenges is we try to go in and save people. If we could just go in and tell them all the things that if they believe, no. Be in genuine relationship with people. Don't tell them if you only did this, this would happen. And here's another thing. This is really important. I know it's a little thing, but it really irks me. I think often we say to people, I will pray for you. And I know that seems such a small thing. Change it to I will pray with you. And you say, what is the difference? When I pray for you, I might be belittling you or putting you outside. It asks people if it's okay to pray with them. Because that's a bit of solidarity with folks. Here's the second thing. Talk about how being a part of the church affects your life. I'm not saying being a part of the church makes me be a better Christian. That's not what I mean at all. If you were here last weekend, Saturday, before the storm came, we packaged 15,000 meals in this building. Talk about what that does for you. Talk about how the church gives you opportunities to serve. Talk about how the church calls you to not be a hypocrite. Talk about those things. Don't invite people to your Bible study right away. Nobody's going to do that. But talk about how the church transforms your life with people, just like you would talk about, you know what? For the longest time, Trader Joe's should have paid me. Because I talked about that grocery store. I was like, if you could only go to Trader Joe's, you can get in and out in like 15 minutes. It's only four aisles. You can get all this stuff. If I only talked about my church the way I talked about Trader Joe's, or for goodness sakes, Peloton, they really should pay me. Right? Because we're so willing to talk about all these things. What if you just talked about your church as something that gave you life and brought you life? And here's the biggest one. Don't judge. I remember I was at a time where I was trying to figure out what I believed and I was trying to figure out where I was in my faith. And somebody said to me, I don't know how you could do X and be a Christian. Oh, you know what? I don't care what it is. Like, I don't care what the thing is. When someone does that to me, I go, oh, I guess I can't be a Christian then. When we judge people, when we put that out there, and friends, here's the deal. You don't have to judge people with words. Sometimes you judge people with your face. You ever had somebody say, fix your face? Seriously. You walk in and you see somebody, you're like, oh. No, fix your face. Stop judging people. Release that judgment on others, because not only will it help you love them more, your life will simply be better. If you stop judging people, no one wants to be in relationship with somebody who's super judgmental. If someone is doubting, the worst thing in the world you can do to them is to go and say, well, if you only believe, life would be easier. No, absolutely not. There's so much judgment in that. So here's what I hope. I hope as we come to the end of this series, not that you know everything about Judaism, Catholicism, Islam, Hinduism, being an agnostic, not that you know everything. In fact, you don't know everything. My hope is not that you've come to a place where you figured out how you can make everybody come to crossroads. My hope is that you are finding yourself in a place where you have a little more courage to step outside of the fence. A little more courage to be in community with somebody else. I can't tell you how bold I think it is that somebody in this church sent that sermon to their Hindu neighbor. And that he didn't say I was completely wrong, right? That he gave feedback and said that was really helpful and beautiful, and thank you for doing that. Friends, I know very little about Hinduism, but at least now I feel like I can have a conversation with my Hindu neighbor. And let me tell you, I've spent the last couple of weeks learning a lot about Buddhism, because I'm so fascinated by what is going on. I pray that what this has done is piqued your interest for community and for relationship. It is a blessing that we live where we live. It is a gift, the diversity that we have the opportunity to come into contact with. And it would be a shame if we lived in a place where we said, if you're not in my club, I can't be in community with you. That is nothing like Jesus. The goal of this series was to push us to love more like Jesus. I know it sounds so cheesy. I've had people tell me before, Tim, you talk too much about love. I said, well, it is kind of what Jesus does. But the truth is, friends, if we loved a little more and judged a little less, the world might be a little better. If we loved a little more, maybe, just maybe, somebody would want to come and find out what you're learning about. If we loved a little more and judged a little less, maybe, just maybe, the world would be transformed, not to believe what we believe, but to love one another more. That is my prayer. That is my hope. And I actually believe through this church we can do that. I know I say it, but I fully believe that we can love this community in a way that the community loves the community, and the community loves the community, and the community loves the community, and maybe, just maybe, this area where we live would become more loving. Maybe, just maybe, we would grow. So I wanna pray for us as we finish this up. God, thank you for this series. Thank you that we live in a place that's diverse, with people with different backgrounds and different faiths and different cultural backgrounds. God, may we constantly seek to learn and grow and be in relationship with others. Might we follow the way of Jesus to engage people who are different from us, to show that grace and that love. Push us, transform us, to love more, to judge less, and to be in community with others. In Jesus' name, amen.